the following podcast contains graphic depictions of sex, kink, or gender. So, thanks for being a consenting adult. Here we go.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week on the podcast, we have a story of voting and orgasm denial from erotic artist Nadia Vanilla. But first, well, if you ask people about me, the one thing they will say is, what's the thing we know about Dixie? Dixie sucks at asking for help, doesn't she? She really does. But guess what, y'all? I'm asking for help because the situation's getting pretty dire. And if you'd like to see the podcast continue, and if you'd like to see the live streams continue, please support us on Patreon. Just $10 a month means that we can keep doing what we're doing, and we also get to give you great rewards, like the live stream replay. This past week's show was phenomenal, and that replay will be up on Patreon for you to watch at your convenience. It also gets you ad-free episodes, interviews. I've got a new storytelling workshop that's going to start doing monthly storytelling sessions, and you and I can work on your stories together. It's a way for me to connect directly with you in a world that is so noisy and it's so hard to get any signal. But Patreon is a direct connection to me and to Body, and for me to you. I can know you love this thing and want to see it continue. So go to patreon.com/body, that's spelled patreon.com. Support us at whatever level you can. And thanks in advance for your support. It means so much right now. Wouldn't it be great to have something fun and new to get us through this week, the longest week there ever was? Well, we have something brand new. It's Body Trivia Night. It is being hosted by Michael Noel, who you heard back on episode 79 of the podcast. He is a super fan who knows that Body is going through really tough times, and he is a super host at trivia. It's what he does for a living. So he is hosting an evening of Body Trivia, and all proceeds go to support Body during COVID. It's free to get in. So all you have to do is email him, and it's going to include dirty trivia, dirty Pictionary, and this interesting little fact match where you tell us a couple things about yourself and we have to guess who said what. It's really engaging and fun. You can contact him at michaelnoel@thegogame.com. The link to that will be in the show notes. And it's happening this Sunday, November 1st. It starts at 4:30 Pacific, which is 7:30 for the East Coast. Please join us. It's a fun, engaging hour and an opportunity to meet the other fans who listen to the podcast. Sign up as soon as possible. The limit is 20 people, and we're almost there. So sign up as soon as you can. Remember, links in the show notes. Contact Michael right away to get in on the game, and I'll be there too. So I'll see you this Sunday, November 1st. And when's the next Body live stream? It's going to be on Saturday, November 21st. We're giving everything with the election a little bit of time to get out of the way. So we will be back to it on November 21st, and we already have some rock stars lined up for this one. Tickets are available online, and the live stream is an engaging live way to be at Body during COVID. You can be part of the show wherever you are. You can be an exhibitionist. You can be a voyeur. You can get a gift package if you sign up for exhibitionist. You know you want a butt plug with my little cartoon face on it. I know you do. And it's a way to listen to stories together live. Tickets are available wherever you get tickets. And it's on our website. It's on the show notes. It's everywhere. Please get your ticket as soon as possible. I can't wait to see your face. How's your week going? It has been a tough one, hasn't it? We are all feeling such despair right now at the fact that there are people out there who don't believe in our rights, who don't believe that we have the right to be who we are and love who we love. And I've been thinking a lot about what I can do to make it better. This week, somehow, I have managed two things that made me feel like I could make a difference. And I hope that it helps you kind of brainstorm what you can do as well. What are those two things? Well, this past week on the Body Storytelling live stream, we had a story that was empowering and sexy, but empowering. And at the end of that story, which you are going to hear on this episode, someone posted on social media that we had changed their mind. They were going to vote. They were on the fence. They didn't think it was worth it. What difference would it make? But at the end of that story, and a story can change a mind and a life, I say it all the time, but it's true. At the end of that story, they said, "You've convinced me. I am casting my vote." And that felt really good. It felt like the win of the week. And then after hearing about the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, that was hard. And I didn't know what I could do. But here's what I did. I thought on it long and hard. And this morning, I got ordained to be a minister. It's Universal Life Church. You can be ordained too, but let's celebrate love in whatever way we can. Let's help people who want to get married before the laws can change, just in case they do. And if you want to get married, please contact me. We can do it on Zoom. You can be anywhere you want, but I would like to help celebrate your love and your choices in your life. You get one life. You can do anything you want with it. And I'd like to help you make that dream come true. I have informally officiated a wedding before. I dressed up as the Virgin de Guadalupe at my friend Jared and Justine's re-wedding. Every year they get married again. And they have someone who officiates the wedding, and there's a theme, and it's costumes. And the year that I was the officiant, the theme was religious figures. And they had decided that I was going to be the Pope. Everybody could be a different religious figure, but Dixie gets to be the Pope. And I wasn't feeling the Pope. I mean, I never grew up Catholic. I don't know that much about the Pope, I'm sorry to say. And should I be sorry? I probably shouldn't be sorry to say that. But I just wasn't feeling it. The Pope just didn't feel like me. And then my friend Alexis, who is an incredible costumer, said, "What about the Virgin de Guadalupe?" Yeah, she's colorful. Blue and red, two of my favorite colors. She got to wear veils. She got to rock the cleavage. And so Alexis made me this incredible costume. And I stood on the steps of Grace Cathedral and I officiated the love of my friends as we all celebrated their life. My friend Orisha, we call her Little O, was nearby with a case of Tic Tacs. And we handed them out to everybody to say, "We will tell you when to take communion." And as we did that, as I prepared and told them about the process of communion and what it meant in the good old days. Actually, it was taking something into your body. It wasn't so much the spirit. It was often meat in the early days to take it into your body to change you into what you wanted. I actually had an interview with somebody who had studied the history of marriage rituals and communion rituals, and it was really informative. And I had people turn to the person next to them, pop that Tic Tac into their mouth, and we made it sexy. Unfortunately, everybody popped the Tic Tac into their own mouth, and I'm like, "Did you guys go ahead and pop your communion before I said you could? Hang on, we're starting over." And Lil O went around, gave everybody more Tic Tacs. Good thing we had so many Tic Tacs. And then it was like, okay, guys, make it sexy. Turn to a person near you. Look deeply into their eyes. And have them take you into their body. Hand them their communion. Put it on their tongue. It was so much fun to officiate that wedding. It was fun to be clever and do something different than what's expected of a wedding. If you've ever heard my freak wedding story, you know I'm a bit non-traditional, and my friends are too. So it was really moving and powerful to help them celebrate their love. If you're looking for an officiant, please think of me. All I want to do is put more love out in the world, you know? We need it now, more than ever.
Stat.
I woke up to an email from Body Superfan Red Bear this morning, and I wanted to share it with you. Hey, Dix, I have a question about Uberlube. This stuff is fantastic. We've almost used up what we have, and I'm making my first purchase on their website. I want to know, how do I let them know I'm purchasing from Body? Red Bear had bought the Exhibitionist package about a month ago, and that came with a free bottle of Uberlube, so it was his chance to try it. He's in love, wants to order more, and I know that you want to let them know that Body is how you found them, so I'm going to tell you too. It makes me so happy to know that Body stories and songs are bolstering your sex drive right now. And when you're ready to rock, Uberlube is what I recommend to get your party started. Lube is magic. It's the key to maximizing pleasure, whether you're alone or with a partner. And if you're gonna lubricate your bits, do it with the highest quality, most body-safe ingredients. That's Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. Uberlube offers long-lasting protection when you want it, and then it quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. Remember me talking about how much I love Uberlube at the drive-in? It's not just a lube. It feels like a nice moisturizer, and you're in control of how long it lasts. It's great for all kinds of play, vaginal, anal, oral. And Uberlube won't stain your clothing or bedding. Any spills can be easily cleaned with detergent and water. There's no flavor or scent, and the bottle's measured pumps allow you to dispense the perfect amount, even in the dark. Plus, it's safe and effective to use with condoms and is latex compatible. Uberlube provides just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensations. I am such a fan of Uberlube. Want to send them some fan mail and let them know that Body sent you? Send it to me and I'll share it with those geniuses at Uberlube. They offer long-lasting performance when you want it. And remember, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer right now. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at uberlube.com. Uberlube lets you feel what you want to feel. You're in charge. So order that fresh bottle of Uberlube. And remember, 10% off and free shipping. Just use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. How about a story? I first met this week's storyteller when she hired me about a year and a half or 2 years ago. She was a regular podcast listener, and she wanted to learn how to tell her story at her very first gallery opening. She was doing it in a friend's home, had put her art up all over the walls, but so many people asked her about the origin of her name and her work that she wanted to do a great job, and she loved stories. So we worked together on that story, and I have a recording of that story. What should I do with that story? Maybe put it up on Patreon? It's a great story. Very moving, very emotional, and you really get to understand who she is as an artist. Boy, it feels like the arts are needed more than ever right now. So I want to tell you about this week's storyteller. Nadia Vanilla is a smut artist from Phoenix, Arizona. She spends almost all day every day, painting naked people or people having sex or people doing fun things with their bodies. The best part of her job is definitely making art that helps folks feel seen and beautiful. She always keeps more projects going than she knows what to do with and would have it no other way. You can follow her on Patreon to keep up with some of those projects. Seriously, she's putting out 2 original pieces of art a day on Patreon. You can follow her on Patreon to keep up with some of those projects, and there's a link in the show notes for her Etsy site and her Patreon. Ready? Here we go. This is one of the most important stories that we're going to put on the podcast this year. This storyteller is Nadia Vanilla.
So I'm up against the wall in my backyard. My hands are pinned over my head and my husband Bruce is kissing my neck. I'm staring up at the stars through like half-closed eyes and thinking to myself, I need this man's cock immediately. I sink to my knees so I can swallow him whole, but he's got me by the throat and he won't let me move. I get a little whiny, but he says, "What did I tell you, Nadia?" His voice is full of teasing and like maybe a little bit of irritation. He says, "You get this dick when you turn in your ballot." And I grit my teeth and I think to myself, "You motherfucker." Y'all, 2020 has been hard on my sex drive. It seems like there's so much going on with the racism, violence, COVID. I haven't seen my friends in months, and I'm starting to forget what fun feels like. And all that crazy shit that's happening with the election, I have found it super hard to feel sexy. My husband Bruce, he looks like a geeky Thor with long brown hair, muscles, glasses, and these big, hot, throbbing brain, and I still can't seem to get into it. And the before times, we couldn't keep our hands off of each other, but then March rolled around, and instead of fucking in the shower three times a week, we were sitting on the couch and watching Westworld. It was itchy and uncomfortable, and like the sluggishness was so grating. Things went from bad to worse the more time that passed, and by July, it became hard to feel anything other than numb. We've been together for 20 years, and it has never been like this. Oh my God, I hated it. But then we found our dream house, and in September we packed up our home for the second time this year and moved in. This is super exciting because Bruce gets his own office. I'm able to like make my art studio into exactly what I want it to be. That's actually like where I am right now. So instead of watching Westworld, it was collapsing into bed at 8 o'clock at night from sheer exhaustion. That's what happens when you try to move like in September in Arizona in the worst heat wave ever. I swear. 2020 has felt like bad news bukkake, and I did not consent to this bullshit. Oh, and also, even the fun TV shows got replaced by watching news on YouTube, and it just seemed like there was no end in sight. To make matters worse, I'm really afraid my ballot isn't going to come. I've moved twice this year. I re-registered at the right address, but like, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't take? What if my ballot gets thrown out? I'm checking the mail three times a day. I've updated my registration on the Arizona voting website. I'm watching for news that might indicate something terrible because I'm just so scared of having my vote suppressed. This one's too important, especially since Arizona is a super swing state right now. So finally, last Tuesday around 5:30 in the evening, we got our ballots in the mail. I grabbed them from the mailbox and like we tore them open in the kitchen. Finally, this thing was here, and I could worry just a little bit less. So now I just had to fill it out, send it in, and wait. Always more waiting. Waiting. But hey, it felt good to be excited about something for once, right? First things first. Trump or Biden? Easiest fucking question I've ever seen. Biden. I fill that fucker in so black and solid they can't possibly misunderstand what I want. Right. Now that that's out of the way, let's look at the rest of it. The thing is huge. Two long-ass pages, front and back, so much text. It looks like one of those standardized tests we took as a kid. That's a lot of content to get through, so Bruce and I broke it down piece by piece, and we discussed exactly what we're looking at. We talk about everyone up for re-election, like picking apart the virtues, trying to spot the lies, earnestly attempting to make right decisions, you know? Bruce goes so far as to look up the records on the judges, like trying to find the ones who are fair. We read the ballot props, discussing school funding, police reform, so many different kinds of taxes. And I don't realize it, but it has been hours standing in that kitchen. My back's starting to ache, so like I lean over the kitchen counter and stretch, which, by the way, I know leaves my ass out, and I know he notices. I'm cool with it. And he walks over to me and kind of like rubs his hand casually over my ass, like finally getting to the last ballot initiative. It's my turn to read aloud. A yes vote supports this ballot initiative to legalize What? Where the fuck did that come from? Bruce just landed a swat on my ass that I know I'm gonna feel for a day or two. It jolts me forward against the kitchen counter and, like, suddenly all of my nerves are on fire. But I do know this game. I know he wants me to keep reading. So, legalize the possession and use of marijuana. Ha! Huh, for persons who are at least 21 years old. Enact a tax on marijuana sales. And require the Department of Health and Human Services to develop rules to regulate marijuana businesses. So, at this point, I am mega turned on, and I really just want to jump him. We've been reading the ballots, but, like, my mind is not on these damn pieces of paper right now. They can wait. I want to have some fun. I give him a kiss, like one of those juicy ones that says, "Don't even bother taking me to the bedroom." I put the ballots, like, aside, and I start to hop on the kitchen counter, hoping he'll fuck me right there, as, you know, we sometimes do in the kitchen before dinner. Anticipation makes everything tingle. Now we're anticipating, not just waiting. "Oh, no," he says. "We need to get through the rest of this. It's so important." Yes. Yes, it is important. Maybe not as important as his hands on my body right now, but hey, still important. So we read through the rest of the ballot. After we get through the very last judge on the very bottom of this 2-page ballot, I see that he's got this little smile on his face. We've cooled down a bit, and I make a joke out of the side of my mouth. I'm like, "Wouldn't it be hilarious if we didn't actually fuck until we turned the ballots in? God, that would make a hell of a story, wouldn't it?" And then that wry little smile on his face gets wide and toothy. "Okay, babe. I think that's a great idea," to which I say, "Fuck, fuck, fuck." I immediately tell him, "I was kidding, I'm trying to backpedal out of the whole thing, I don't want any part of this. Let me tell you something about me. I do not like to be told that there is a thing and I can't have it. Oh my God, it always makes me want that something just that much more. And I like the challenge. You think I can't have it, I will make you give it to me, and right now it is that dick." He says, "Yeah. You've earned yourself a few nights of denial. I think we should hold off on the fucking until our civic duty is done. When these ballots are dropped off, then I will fuck you senseless. But until then, you wait." The actual fuck. Okay, so I know there's really no point in arguing tonight. He's made up his mind. Annoying, but I do have to admit I kind of like it. And I'm thinking of ways around it. By this point, it's 8:30 at night, so I'm looking up which polling places in my area have 24-hour drive-through, like, ballot boxes. I know there are a few in Phoenix. I find one, and I'm about to tell Bruce where it is. Like, I show him my phone so he can see the map, and he laughs. "No," he says. "We haven't actually filled out the form. Gotta give it our full consideration. You cannot be rushing this. Sit on it. Think on it. It's too important." Okay. Tomorrow, right after work. Bruce just laughs. He knows what he's doing. At this point, now I know I can't have it. All I want is that fucking dick. He says, "No. I want to think about my ballot. I've got that big work project, so we'll take it to the courthouse on Friday." Friday, are you shitting me? It's Tuesday. I am so turned on. My ass is red and sensitive, and this motherfucker intends to leave me that way for the better part of a week? Okay, fine. We finish making dinner, settle into the living room for some Netflix and actual chill. Tonight's the Great British Bake Off, so that's cool. And when I go to bed, I see my Hitachi plugged in by the nightstand. It looks so lonely and sad, and it looks like it just wants to be played with. Bruce is in the bathroom, and I'm feeling maybe a little playful, so I grab it and I turn it on. The buzzing sound? That's nice. It's waiting to be used. Kind of like me. So I shimmy myself out of my shorts and I press it against my clit. Oh God, it's exactly what I've been craving. My senses are on fire. Like, best of all, I feel like I'm getting away with something. I just have to be a little quiet so he doesn't hear me. I'm not gonna actually come. I'm mostly a good girl. I just want to have a little fun. So do I. And I lose track of it and I'm starting to feel myself, and then I hear the creak of our bathroom door. And Bruce comes out and gives me that, like, disappointed daddy face. And I smile a little because I haven't technically broken any rules after all. He shakes his head, makes me turn it off, kisses me on the cheek, and climbs into bed. and I'm still frustrated. And next morning over breakfast, I'm still a little twitchy and craving. I had a dream last night that I got bent over a ballot box and fucked from behind while Hail to the Chief played in the background. Can't imagine where that shit came from. My ballot's sitting on the kitchen table. It's like it's teasing me every time I walk from the studio to anywhere else in my house. I'm alternating between this like crazy hot torso piece that I'm painting and thinking about that piece of paper. I read through all the props again. I fill in the lines completely with black ink. I consider each question that's being asked of me, and my mind wanders back to that crack from last night. The next day, since we both work from home, we sit down together for lunch. Bruce asks me about my ballot. What did you say on that one tax prop? Tax him, I say flatly, for the school children. And then I ran a toe up his leg to see if I could get him interested in letting me out of my denial period a little early. Nadia, he chides. Stop it. I already told you not until Friday. I just wanted to know that that ballot's on your mind. I mean, of course it is. How could it not be? He told me I can't have one of my very favorite things, that dick, until I've dealt with this vote. Fine. So Thursday night, we're taking the dogs outside to play fetch with them, and Bruce grabs my hand and he pulls me around the side yard. There's a little bit of privacy there. It's a 7-foot wall, and our neighbors aren't around. He presses me against the block and he kisses me hard. You got your ballot filled out? Of course, I nod. And oh my God, he puts his hands all over me. I love it so much. And just when I start to sink down onto my heels, my plan is to open his shorts and swallow him whole, he stops and backs away. No, Nadia, what did we agree to? Not until the ballots are turned in. You have to take your time, make sure it's done right after all. Friday morning, it's finally the day. We get to vote, and then I get boned, yeah? I slip the ballot into the green envelope provided by the Election Commission. I lick the envelope. I kind of feel like this might be the most important thing my tongue has ever been on. It tastes so nasty, but I imagine that when Bruce and I finally get home from this voting, he'll let me lick something far more appetizing. At lunch, I ask when we can go vote, and he says, I can wrap up a little early today since you've been good. 3:30. Okay, 3:30 it is. I close up shop a little early, take a shower, and spend a little extra time on the personal grooming. Like, I want to feel my sexiest, so I use the good shower gel. I wash my hair, I shave my legs for the first time in a few weeks. I can't wait until Bruce is ready to touch them. I put on a cute little summer dress, and I skip the panties. 3:30 rolls around, and finally, it's time. Both of our ballots are in hand. We're going to go drop them off, with which I have been waiting to impatiently for the last 4 fucking years, can I just say? And we get into the car. Bruce drives us to the courthouse, and there are signs leading us there, like, from a block away. There are so many people. All those people early voting, this is so fantastic. Like, how fucking cool is that? But also, for real, y'all, I need this line short because I have an appointment with a dick in a Hitachi, and I do not want to wait another minute. We inch forward so slowly for just about half an hour. The whole time, Bruce is rubbing the inside of my leg, letting his fingers pull up the edge of my bright blue sundress. Oh, he's creeping up, but so slowly, like just enough to tease, but because that is his very favorite thing to do. When we get to the front, I pause. I kiss my ballot for good luck, put on my mask, and leave the car to drop them off in the box. And it's done. So, like, now I can get fucked, yeah? Yeah? So when I shut the door, I'm like, you know exactly what I want now. Can we pull over? I bet the central parking garage is pretty empty on the top floor right now. Bruce, of course, he just laughs. Babe, what makes you think a parking garage is going to be empty around rush hour on a Friday? You can be patient. You've waited long enough. What's like a little more? We did the responsible thing and voted. Now we can do the responsible thing and wait until we get home. He slaps the inside of my leg for good measure, as if I wasn't wet enough before. All that patience and restraint, it all goes out the door when we get back to the house. As soon as we're like inside the building, he's pushing me by my hips back towards the bedroom. Go now is his like whole general vibe. Fine by me. I dash to the bedroom and I'm pulling in my dress while I'm at it, and in no time at all, I'm naked on the bed, my knees facing away from him, and he's kissing my back, biting my skin, running his hands over my thighs, and then occasionally making contact with that crack. He spends the better part of an hour just teasing me, touching me how he knows I like just long enough to make me feel good before he moves on to somewhere else. He's got me so worked up in the waiting, but he pauses and whispers in my ear, "Who did you vote for senator? Kristen Sinema, right?" Trick question. I grumble and snarl. Sinema isn't even up for election this year. It's between Mark Kelly and Martha McSally. But since you asked, I'm voting Mark Kelly. I'm voting blue for the entire ticket. And he says, "Good girl." And when he finally puts that fucking Hitachi on my clit, I swear to God, I levitate. I scream because holy shit, I have been waiting long enough for this. Not just the last few days for this particular orgasm, but also 4 fucking years I've been waiting to vote Oompa Loompa and Lord of the Flies out of the people's house. It is fucking transcendent right now. And while I'm in the throes, I feel him hover like he's gonna put that dick inside finally, but he waits. What about Trump? I'm like, out, gone, fuck him, fuck me, please just fucking fuck me, and he slides it into me. He's hard, and I'm so wet and sensitive and twitchy, and it feels so good when he finally starts to fuck me. It's not slow and nice like it often can be. It's hard and aggressive, and I have to protect my forehead from the wall because he's really going at it. And when he digs his fingernails into my ass and pounds one last time into me, he howls, and I lose my mind. And we collapse on the bed, and we're all sweaty and breathing heavy, and I'm just staring up at the ceiling, and I gotta say, this has been a good day. All that waiting I've been doing for the past week, for the past 8 months since COVID began, for the past 4 years, it's all gotten me here. Sweaty, depleted, freshly fucked. Voted, and I did something to change the world. I even made my voice heard. I'm feeling hopeful, like maybe the world itself will get its own relief in just a couple of weeks. Now that is a nice thought. Best of all, I think the Vanilla household just got a brand new election season tradition.
Yeah.
That was High Hopes by Panic at the Disco. Need a distraction. It's important to keep your mind sharp during times like these. And you know what keeps your brain agile? Challenging yourself with trivia. And a great way to do that is to play Trivia Star. Trivia Star is a free mobile quiz game that's entertaining and challenging. You can choose categories like music, sports, movies, TV, animals, celebrities. Hey, if I were to ask you the name of a band that performed the song Here Comes the Sun, or to name the members of New Kids on the Block, could you answer in under 15 seconds? Then you'll love Trivia Star. There are over 60 categories to choose from, so there's always more trivia to explore. If you choose the correct answer from multiple choices and beat the clock, you move to the next level. The questions get harder over time, but even if you get stuck, don't worry. You can use coins and gems to get a hint and beat the level. Right now, Trivia Star is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play the game. Just go to the Apple or Google Store and search for Trivia Star. Trivia Star has over 2,000 five-star reviews in the Apple Store, so search Trivia Star and enjoy 2,500 coins and 500 gems. Go to the Apple or Google Store and download Trivia Star for free today. Keep your mind sharp, and let's see if you're smart enough to win. You know, I've been getting emails for years from people who tell me they dream of working with me on a story. And you can do it now. I have started Storytelling for Self-Discovery. It's a way for you and I to work one-on-one on a story from your life. And not just a story from your life. Maybe it's about using story to understand what motivates you, what you care about, what the next step is going to be. Story can do all of that and more. And as someone who's been a story coach for pretty close to 14 years now, I can tell you I have seen stories change lives for years. So maybe it's the story of your business. Maybe you're looking to revamp your website or you want to improve your story to make sure that people understand who you are and what you care about. Maybe you're thinking about a new career and you want answers for that interview that hopefully is going to happen any minute. Whatever it is, stories matter. Stories change things and they make you feel strong and invincible. I see that every single show. You can contact me at dixie@bawdystorytelling.com. I'm happy to tell you more, or you can go to the calendar that is linked in the show notes. We'll do a 15-minute discovery call and talk about how stories can help you. Storytelling for Self-Discovery has already gotten tremendous response, and I'd love to work with you on your story too. Well, we're at the end of our episode, but before we go, I want to say thank you to the people who make the podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. Marty, you're killing it. Thank you to sound engineer, David Grossoff. Thank you to video archivist, Joe Moore. Thank you to the guy who's making those Cartoon Dixie pre-show videos for our live stream, Donal Mooney. Love those things. And thank you to you. Thank you for listening every week. Thank you for sharing this podcast with friends. Thank you for writing us a review wherever you review podcasts. That's a big deal. And it's also a way for me to hear what you think about the podcast. That's something I need a little bit more of. So if you're up for it, please do me that favor. It would mean a lot. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 147 of the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.